Welcome in Chief of Police for the City of North Platte, Dan Hudson, joining us for our monthly Chat with the Chief. Chief Hudson, always good to see you in the studio.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Doing very well. How are you?
I'm well. I've been sitting here playing with the cords. You guys rearranged the headset cords, and I'm like... My ADHD is kicking in, and I'm probably driving you crazy as you try to talk over there.
And as you know, that cord over there is extremely touchy, too, as you've experienced.
It is. You have to, yeah, it's just the right wiggle and the right angle of the whatever.
Yep.
So
sometimes on Tuesday mornings, I'll see George just tapping away over there because he's got it down to a T. So if you ever get stuck over there, just call George in, and he'll be able to get it for you.
I think I've got it, so it's all working right now. So we'll see, we'll get through, you know, improvise, adapt, and overcome.
Absolutely. The Marine motto, right?
Marine Corps motto. They're one of many.
One of many. Now, Chief.
One of the ones that is actually suitable for the radio.
One that's radio friendly, you're saying?
Yes.
Now, Chief Hudson, Nebraska Land Day is officially underway. This will be your third year, right, for Nebraska Land Days? Or is it second?
Second.
Okay.
Second, yep.
So, what are you looking forward to most for this year's festival?
Hey, first and foremost, we're just looking forward to having it.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's just such a great job done by David and his crew over at Nebraska Land. So we're excited to just get some normalcy. Mm-hmm. You know, we there's still concerns with other issues as far as be smart about it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's large gatherings. It's considerably smaller gathering than what normally would be. I think. If I remember right through meetings, normally there are about 13,000 people in the arena.
Yeah.
In this year, I think it's, I want to say 23 or 13,
somewhere.
23, somewhere like that.
Yeah.
I think it's something like that. But people still need to be careful, be cautious. If you've got some health issues, maybe this year isn't the year to go. But if you're going, you know, social distance and be smart about it. But we're just glad to be having it. We're I totally forgot about the prime rib feed or the,
oh,
the
last
thing
night,
last
yeah.
night, and I forgot about it.
Well, and you know what, too? They were giving away free meals to law enforcement if they showed their badge or ID.
Oh, wow.
So you missed out on free prime rib, Chief.
No, that's, you know, we always appreciate that, but, you know, it's always nice to have people reach out to us, but, you know, there's probably other people that could use a free meal a little bit more than our guys can. We appreciate it, but, you know.
Well, and I commended Rob and the Lincoln County Cattlemen. I know David Orr is the president of the Cattlemen this year, and I commended them for doing that. And I asked them, I said, during our live broadcast, you know, guys, where's the inspiration behind this? And they said, you know, this has been a tough year for law enforcement. They've seen it nationally, and they just wanted to honor our local law enforcement. So I know that in your profession, Chief Hudson, it has been a tough year nationally, but locally, you've not experienced as much of that, I wouldn't imagine.
No, we, you know, we're so fortunate here in North Platte that we have such a great community, and we have just a great relationship. We have trust. We have... just the support that we feel locally is tremendous. It has been a tough year, I will say, for our profession, you know, and that affects it. Things that happen all over the country, all over the world, it has an effect on our officers. You know, you can't turn on the news every night or you turn on the radio and listen to the vitriol that's spewed against law enforcement in general, because that is our chosen profession. And that's, you know, I think for me personally, I've been through this 28 years now. You know, we lived through the Rodney King, post-Rodney King L.A., O.J. Simpson L.A., Rafael Perez L.A. We, you know, it's there. It was just, and the media market is so different there. So you get kind of used to it, but it definitely wears on you as far as, you know, that just every day you just get pummeled, and every day you go in and then your kids start asking you questions because their friends say, well, I heard this, Daddy or Mommy, what? Why are the police doing this? And it wears on you. But you know what? We're very fortunate here that to try to, you know, we're in an environment here where we can turn off that noise because we don't have a 24/7 local news. A place I used to live, you could turn on the news at 4:30 in the morning, and if you were willing to flip a channel, you could watch local news until 12:30 at night.
My goodness.
So, I mean, it was all the time, and they had to fill it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're lucky here that we can turn off that noise, and our officers are appreciated. And I tell you, you look around the waistlines of the North Platte Police Department the last month and a half, 2 months, people are bringing pizza every day, something, this and that. We appreciate it, but my
the
goodness.
The waistlines might be growing for our local officers.
Yeah, my budget for uniform expansions are growing, too. No, so, yeah, so, no, but it's great. We're so blessed and so lucky to be supported, and I think our people, the men and women of our organization, whether it's North Platte Police Department or Lincoln County Sheriff's Department or the North Platte Fire Department, they go out every day and they pour their heart and soul into this profession and into our communities. So they do a great job.
And you have to have a love for this line of work, because if you don't love it, and if you don't, obviously there's going to be days you don't love, and you have to do parts of the job that you don't love. But if you don't have a love for, A, the people and the community and for the job, you're not going to last very long in this profession.
No, because contrary to popular opinion, nobody's getting rich off of this profession. You know, we get paid. We get paid nicely for what we do, but mm-hmm. there are days that it doesn't even scratch the surface.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know? So, and it is a calling. And it is a profession. And it is a passion. And our people that are out there working the streets, they're passionate about what they do. And they're professionals. And they're constantly striving to get better. And, you know, we're just getting back into the training world, because it's kind of been put on hold the last six
sure.
months, three to 6 months, because normally we would be sending officers all over the state, all over the region for different this training or that training, and all of that has been canceled due to COVID. So finally we were able to get, yesterday we had several training sessions to go over back policy reviews on sexual harassment and pursuits and stuff like that, and get a chance to sit down and talk to some of the officers that I don't always get to see because they're in, you know, the middle of the nights, and I pop in on occasion, but I try not to spend too much. My wife doesn't like me to spend too much of my time at 3 in the morning at the station. But
I can understand where the missus is coming from.
But, well, I don't think it's, she cares that I'm leaving. It's that the dogs bark when I leave and when I come back in. And
might wake the family up.
It wakes the family up, yeah. So, no, but it's great to see them all. And it's, you know, we had done some pretty drastic compartmentalization of our resources as continuity of operations. Or as we looked at continuity of operations during the onset of COVID, and I think we're getting ready probably in September to go back to a more what our traditional overlapping shifts and stuff like that is. So we've been working them hard. They're working 7 12-hour shifts in a row. That's a long week.
That's a lot. Now, yeah. Chief Hudson, if there's anybody out there listening that's pondering a career in law enforcement, maybe there's a young individual out there that's thinking they'd like to think about carrying the badge around after graduation, or maybe there's an older individual out there that's thinking about a change in careers, what would you say to them as they discern this this field?
I would say, again, tune out the noise. A lot of it's just it. When I say tune out the noise, I don't mean that some of it's not warranted,
mm-hmm.
but the constant over and over and over noise is what we're talking about. If you're passionate about it, if you're a person of character, if you're a person of empathy and compassion and all those things, you know, it's a great job. It will give you tremendous rewards on a personal level, that you will feel like, wow, you know, delivering babies and saving lives and doing things. But then there are some tremendous downs too. There's, you know, when you have to tell a loved one that their child's not coming home, or that, you know, we talk about it, but, you know, to sit there and hold the hand of a mom telling them that their child's going to be okay when you know that it's not,
mm-hmm.
you know, or they're not going to be. So there's it's a job that will test all of your emotions, and it'll test all of your emotions within a 15-minute period, sometimes within a 5-minute period. You'll go from a tremendous high at this thing to, you know, we had a T-shirt somewhere else I worked, and it was three beeps was the radio call for code 3 license sirens, so a high-priority emergency, and the T-shirt said, 3 beeps from chaos. And it's your day can be going just fine,
mm-hmm.
and the next thing you know, the floor falls out of it.
Yeah,
you know,
so, the drop of a hat.
So, and I would say that there definitely is a family. There's a brotherhood. I met somebody recently who retired from Simi Valley, California's police department, with 30 years on the department. He's moved here to the North Platte area, and we were chatting last week, and the other day he sent me a text saying that Yesterday was the 25th anniversary of Simi Valley, the only Simi Valley police officer murdered in the line of duty, Michael Clark. And they generally would have a large ceremony in Simi, but because of COVID, they had decided to cancel it. So he told me that he was going to be at our memorial yesterday at 11 o'clock and asked if I cared to join. So we absolutely did. We rallied some guys, and we had some of our officers out there. There were four or five of our officers, five of the Lincoln County sheriffs, the troop. By the time we got a hold of them, it was a little late for them to get there. But Don said, as he got out of the car, he was almost crying because he couldn't believe, you know, but we are a family, and law enforcement's a family, and I kind of had made a post yesterday. We all celebrate our victories or our successes, but we all feel and mourn our losses. So it doesn't matter if it's Simi, it doesn't matter if it's New York, it doesn't matter if it's Florida. They're all our brothers, you know.
And a brother in badge is a brother in badge.
Yeah, you know, and I'm pretty fond of saying, while I might not have known him personally, I knew him,
mm-hmm.
you know. So it just, and that's the professional aspect. That is the family aspect. That is the camaraderie and the togetherness. If you want to join this profession, you're going to be accepted into a family, and it's probably unlike anything other than the military that you'll ever experience.
And I would encourage folks, too, if they're thinking about a career with the North Platte Police Department, might not be a bad idea to reach out to you, maybe reach out to Steve Reeves. We have some great individuals on the local police department and the Lincoln County Sheriff's Office that would love to talk to these folks about, you know, what this career may mean and give them a tip or two about how to proceed discerning this career in the future.
And anybody that's spoken on a personal level with cops for very long, they'll tell you what they do. You'll hear the truth
awfully quick.
Yeah, you'll hear the truth, and sometimes they'll even tell you what they think of management. So be gentle with that.
So the city should be talking to your officers before your monthly review or yearly review, then, right?
I'm glad they don't. Well, you know what? Some days, when you sit in the big decider chair, you make decisions that some people like and some people don't, and
absolutely,
all you try to do is be fair and make it based on facts, not emotions. And now that I would like to believe we have a good relationship with our staff. There are days, I'm sure, but
that's with any profession.
We joke about it. There are two things that cops hate: the way things are and change. You know, so no matter what you do, you're going to hear about it. So you just kind of you try to keep the car between the ditches and just keep it going down the road, and you do what you think is best for everyone involved.
Absolutely. We do need to take a quick break here on our monthly Chap the Chief here on KODY's Mugs in the Morning. We'll continue with Chief Dan Hudson of the North Platte Police Department after this.
When legal representation is required, Lindemeyer Law Office is your first call. This is Bob from Lindemeyer Law Office. My staff and I have more than 95 years of combined experience in law and will work for you. With specialized knowledge and skills, we have the experience in criminal defense, immigration law, probate and estate law, along with family, custody, and juvenile law, and personal injury. Our team of Amanda Spikert, Kent Form, Shantae Durham, and myself have made differences in people's lives. Contact us for free initial consultation at Lindemeyer Law Office, 534-6740, or at Flat Rock.
Are you a current business owner looking for banking options that fit your business plan? Then come see the bankers at Great Western Bank. With cash management tools and the industry's best online banking, we have people that can help your business grow. Hi, I'm Leland Poppy, president at Great Western Bank. Don't detour your plans. Drive straight at the S-curve and into Great Western Bank to see one of our business bankers, and let's grow your business together. Great Western Bank, the only name in business banking to make your business great. Member FDIC.
Livestock producers demand soybean meal that delivers superior nutrition. Are those the soybeans you're growing? Find out with the help of the United Soybean Board's Soybean Sampling Program. Go to usb.soyvalue.com and request a sample kit. Send some of your beans in and we'll measure their nutritional value. Take the guesswork out of seed selection. Grow the varieties that deliver top nutrition. Compete better in the marketplace and protect farm revenue. Do it all with one visit to usb.soyvalue.com.
In an uncertain market, you need to maximize the quality and profitability of your stored grains by controlling profit-robbing insects. A tank mix of Diacon IGR and Sentinel EC insecticide, or Diacon IGR Plus, offers the long-term control of an insect growth regulator and the knockdown power of a broad-spectrum insecticide. Keep grain clean with grain protectants from Central Life Sciences. To learn more, contact your local dealer or visit bugfreegrains.com.
And welcome back in here to KODY's Mugs of the Morning. I'm glad to be with you here on a Wednesday, August 5th edition on KODY. Still 822 and hanging out at 61 degrees. Your time and temp is service of Mike and the crew from your local Grease Monkey. They can be found on the ones in North Platte. Topping out today near 87 degrees, probably the warmest day to August thus far, I'd say, Chief Hudson, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's been a beautiful August so far. I know Sunday morning I woke up and I was out fairly early and it felt like one of those late October Saturdays in Lincoln, early morning football games.
And get
it was
a
like
taste
it
of
was
fall.
Beautiful. It was, and then got a little warmer, but it wasn't bad. But yeah, we can hang out in this area, cool off in the evening, warm in the middle of the day. That's perfect.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm not going to complain by any means. Obviously, we talked about at the beginning of the show, Chief Hudson, Nebraska Land Days is officially underway. I know typically in a Nebraska Land Days year, we would talk about increased traffic, increased individuals from out of town. And obviously, we do have some increased individuals from out of town, not to the volume we normally would, but there is still some out-of-towners there. So if you don't mind, tell our listeners, how do we stay safe during this time and avoid any collisions, avoid any tickets, and cooperate with those from out of town while they're here for the festival?
Well, I think it's pretty consistent with what we always preach, our everyday preaching, is first off, give yourself ample time. If you need to be at the arena, especially if you're going to the arena for any of the rodeos or the concerts next weekend, give yourself plenty of time because there will be more people. Even though it's not the 13,000, if it's 2,300, 2,500, that's still a lot of cars moving in and out of one particular area, and there's really only two roads in and out of the arena. So give yourself some time. Be patient. Don't, you know, I know people get frustrated and next thing you know, they just sit and simmer and that whole road rage. And if you're stuck on northbound Buffalo Bill at Rodeo, I was going to say Rodeo, but I'd get in trouble, Rodeo, you know, it's going to take you a few minutes to get back to the arena. So just calm down, throw on some music, roll down the window and enjoy it. Drinking and driving. Just don't do it. Just last year we had, and I don't know how many were alcohol related, but last year we had some pretty significant collisions there leading to the arena.
Recall.
We had a young child that was hit that was on a skateboard. We had an individual that got out of, and this was alcohol related, got out of his vehicle and decided to start walking because it wasn't moving fast enough and he was hit by a car and he was in bad shape for a while. So just, you know, alcohol and motor vehicles don't really match. So
yeah.
If you're going to partake of adult beverages, do it in a responsible manner. Ensure that you have someone to drive you. And if not, we'll drive you.
You
might not like the destination, but we'll get you there.
Yeah.
So, and the other thing is just, it'll be interesting this year with the way they're going to have the arena kind of divided up as far as the seating sections and stuff like that. I'm interested to see how people, if it's kind of everyone slides to the bottom and it goes out the door, or if people try to stay pretty true to it. People were really great. We had the high school graduation a couple weeks ago, and people were actually really good about, they sat where they were supposed to sit.
Mm-hmm.
Or they sat on the seats that were designated seats. So, you know, I hope that takes place. And then, as always, I think there's no beer gardens this year, but there will be alcohol sold. So just moderation. You're there for the rodeo.
Mm-hmm.
You're there for the concert. You're there for the evening out. Don't destroy it by getting blasted and then you got other issues. So,
well, and not to mention that can only not only ruin your evening, but that could ruin somebody else's evening as well. And that's the dangers of driving intoxicated. Not only is your life at risk, the lives of your officers on the road are at risk. Innocent individuals, they're just trying to go home or go to work or whatever it might be.
Absolutely. And as we get into these August evenings, there are a lot of sunlight late, and mm-hmm. kids are still out. But in, you know, the drinking and driving part, but then just the consumption in the stands. And we've all been to concerts or events where the people behind you, beside you, or in front of you are just gone as far as alcohol, and mm-hmm. they're
heavily intoxicated.
That's the word I was trying to find, something radio friendly. Heavily intoxicated, and it makes it so the individuals around you can't enjoy the show, mm-hmm. and everyone there paid to enjoy. They didn't come to hear you talk about whatever you're talking about or ranting about or raving about.
Yep.
They came to watch, you know, the athletes down on the arena that are trying to ride a bull or do what they're doing. So that's what we paid for. We didn't pay for to hear your diatribe of how your day went.
Yeah. And I do know folks have said in the past, too, Chief Hudson, that there is an increased law enforcement presence sometimes out the arena, and it makes sense. You think about the number of people we have out there. Not only does Nebraska Land Days offer security, there's often some police officers walking around. Last year we saw you and Sheriff Kramer walking around a couple of the events in uniform working, too, and obviously, that's for the safety of everybody. We want those trained officers there because there's a large group of individuals out there.
Absolutely, and what there's meetings that take place through, you know, the FBI or our federal partners for threat management, threat
sure.
mitigation. Because anytime you have a large gathering, there's always a possibility of you know, we want to make sure that we understand our threat assessments. We have officers. Generally, it'll be us, the sheriffs, the troopers. And then there's going to be other people that you don't see, but they see
you. And you hope you don't encounter.
You know, we do have undercover resources at the arena. We have undercover resources at all the events to ensure, you know, just the safety and stuff like that. So you just, you don't know.
Absolutely.
So, but again, if you are behaving in a manner and conducting yourself in a manner that is consistent with social norms, you'll never see us.
Mm-hmm.
You'll say hi. We'll say hi. We'll, you know, maybe throw some knuckles or
elbow
punch, knuckle bump or elbow bump, and have a great evening and move on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, you're not gonna have a negative encounter with law enforcement.
Well, because the officers that you do dispatch to the arena, although they are working, they don't want to have to work. They want to be able to walk around, watch a little bit of rodeo, enjoy themselves, and have a simple shift at work, as we all want.
Absolutely, and I listened to, was it this week or last week, Sheriff Kramer was on.
Oh, yeah, last Thursday.
And you brought that up to him, and I know we've talked about a lot of times, secret. Most cops, they just want to get through their shift.
Yep.
You know, they just
they want to get home just like we do in any other profession.
I've been to Nebraska Land Days, all of it last year one time, and I already know where I'm going to see my officers posted up tonight. They're going to be at the top of the ramp on both sides of the grandstand.
Yep.
Eyes in, eyes out.
Yep.
Watch every time that chute opens, their eyes will be there, and then the rest of the time their eyes. So they want to get through their night, and they
Absolutely.
Want to have a good night, and they want to have a pleasant experience. They want to ensure that you have a pleasant experience, and they want to make sure that they're here to make sure everyone enjoys the venue.
And I believe last year was the first year we had a clear bag policy in effect out at the arena. I would imagine that's in effect again this year. And I'd imagine that that's something that you as a law enforcement officer, Chief Hudson, support, that clear bag policy in light of our current world we live in.
Absolutely. And it just, you know, you see that in most venues anymore.
Yep.
You know, you go to a Husker game, it's a clear bag venue. You know, most all venues anymore are clear bag venues. It just makes sense. Because people don't like, well, first off, security people and this and that don't like reaching in and moving stuff around in
yes,
a purse or something like that.
And then
you don't know what's in there, you don't know what you're touching, and then, oh my gosh, I had a Mona Lisa was in my small handbag and now it's missing.
Yeah.
So it's just better to be able to lift it up. People can look through it or look through the sides of it and kind of say, okay, go ahead. But, you know, it's amazing what we find. It's amazing how creative people are trying to get things in, and it's interesting.
It is, for sure. We're going to talk to Chief Hudson a little bit more about the Nebraska Land Days Festival. We'll also talk about the graduation ceremony at North Platte High School had a few days ago as well. Right now, we're going to step aside for a quick news break on KODY's Mugs in the Morning.
Here's Husker Radio News Director Tristan Winder with a news update.
State lawmakers will once again attempt to pass a major property tax and business incentive package as early as today, with time running out on this year's session. The Revenue Committee voted yesterday in favor of a new proposal that seeks to combine the priorities of lawmakers who want to lower property taxes and those who wish to continue offering tax incentives to businesses to replace a program that expires later this year. The West Central District Health Department has announced locations of possible COVID-19 exposure in North Platte. There have been positive cases to those who have visited the Platte Bar from 6 to 10 p.m. on the 30th of July, and also confirmed cases for those that visited the House Bar on the 30th from 10:15 to 11:30 p.m. The West Central District Health Department has also announced a dozen new cases of the virus in Lincoln County, ranging from individuals in their teens into their 70s. The 12 new cases bring the total active COVID-19 cases to 40 within the West Central District Health Department's jurisdiction. The U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services is scheduled to visit Taiwan in the coming days, in the highest level visit by an American cabinet official since the break in formal diplomatic relations in 1979.
Every year is full of special occasions, birthdays, anniversaries, promotions, sticking to your diet. At Tillman Jewelers, we have something for all special occasions. I'm Karen, and we pride ourselves in giving you one-on-one attention to help you find that perfect gift for your loved one, friend, even your boss. Plus, Tillman's does jewelry repair on site, and I'm on hand to create that custom piece. Tillman Jewelers for all occasions, 503 North Dewey, downtown on the Berks.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Sunny today, high of 87. Tonight, mainly cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms, low of 63. Thursday, sunny to partly cloudy, chance of showers and storms, high of 87. Thursday night, partly cloudy, chance of storms. Friday, mainly sunny, high of 92. Friday night, mainly clear, a low near 64. That's your weather forecast for KODY 1240 AM and 106.1 FM.
Husker Radio Sports.
With a look at your Husker Radio Sports, I'm Tanner Struckman. A pair of former Nebraska Cornhuskers have landed at new spots. Wide receiver Javion McQuitty landed at South Dakota. That's where he'll continue his football career. He medically retired in the spring, but later decided to enter the transfer portal. Another one, Breon Dixon, has opted to go to Missouri State. Dixon is ranked the number 8th outside linebacker in his high school senior class, according to ESPN. He appeared in 4 games on special teams at Nebraska before deciding to transfer to JUCO Iowa Western for a season. Another former Husker have been released by his NFL teams. Quincy Enunwa was released by the NFL's New York Jets. Also, Spencer Long was released a day after the Bills signed another offensive lineman in Buffalo. He played in 14 games for the Bills last year. And a future Nebraska potential opponent has decided to pull out of the 2020 college football season. Minnesota wide receiver Rashad Bateman will opt out of this year and get ready for next year's draft in 2021. Several rankings has him as one of the top 20 players in the country for the 2021 NFL draft. He becomes the second pro prospect to opt out of the coming season, joining Virginia Tech cornerback Caleb Farley, who also was leaving school early. He announced that last week. That's a look at your Husker Radio Sports. I'm Tanner Struckman.
Sutherland Sportsman's Cove would like to thank our veterans and troops during this month. They would also like to give a special thank you to our doctors and nurses for what they have done and continue to do every day for our community. Thank you to our veterans and our essential workers. This is from Sutherland Sportsman's Cove, a locally owned business serving our community in more areas than one. They are proud to be a part of this. Let's all stick together.
Back to the KODY studio for more Mugs in the Morning with Tristan Winder, only on KODY 1240 AM, 106.1 FM.
And welcome back to KODY's Mugs in the Morning, 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. We're continuing our monthly chat with the Chief, with Chief Dan Hudson of the North Platte Police Department. And Chief Hudson, you mentioned before that news break, North Platte High held their graduation recently. What a unique year for a graduation, and an awfully special one to you with your daughter graduating. So congratulations to her and to you and the missus.
Thank you very much. It was it's been a culmination of a long... It was so nice to see the kids get the opportunity. So much of this class's senior year was wiped out, or was just so, you know...
Taken away.
Yeah, just... And my daughter was unique because she was kind of done in the semester break and at Christmas time, so she knew she was through with that aspect. But so many of the kids that just walked out of the school, I don't know, it was March 12th. Kind of told their buddies, hey, see you tomorrow, you know, and then...
As we thought.
And then, nope, never to walk through those halls again other than one time to go clean your locker out and leave, and that was kind of as a few at a time. So hats off to Dr. Hansen and Scott Siegel over at the high school and everyone else that was involved to give the kids some sense of normalcy and a graduation. And granted, like as I had explained to my daughter, I remember very, very little about my graduation a long time ago, but I know I had it. And yep. There's certain things I remember about it. I don't remember who the speakers were. I don't remember what they said, but I do remember being in the gym and in your cap and gown, and I remember singing our class song, and I remember that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the receiving line. So, but at least they got that. It's kind of closure. They were able to bring a little bit of normalcy back, and I couldn't even imagine being a senior and having track canceled, having prom canceled, having all
everything taken away.
Yeah, everything gone. So it was nice that they were able to work through. And as I said, the families, and there was six people per graduate, and there was the gold side, I think, and the blue side, and they had the certain chairs or certain bleacher seats were marked, and that's where people sat, and, mm-hmm. and people sat there. They didn't just all slide down to the one end, and people did a great job. Masks were optional, I think. A lot of people had masks. The school provided six masks with every ticket, and so some wore them, some didn't, but everyone was spread out, and they did a good job, and it was nice just to get it done and get some normalcy for the kids.
Well, and not to mention, Chief Hudson, you could speak to this greater than what I can, but the graduation ceremony sometimes is more for mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, the parents and guardians that are the ones that stayed up those late nights and that put in some blood, sweat, and tears to get the graduate that diploma too.
Absolutely. It is a family endeavor.
True.
You know, because I don't know how things were in your house, but my 16-year-olds weren't getting up on their own at 7 o'clock in the morning. Mom was there, or somebody was there making sure there was the first call, second call, last call.
Yep.
You know, it's like get up now. So
the original last call.
The original last call. So yeah, no, and the families are so important, and you know, it's kind of you know, you read different things, and there were different people that with only six tickets that or six guests per graduate that. You know, to some families, that's not even the family.
Not scratching the surface.
Yeah, but, you know, everyone, I think, at least they got to have their stuff afterwards, too. So, you know, our hats off and congratulations to class of 2020. It was kind of funny, the speeches were, you know, there won't be another one like that, hopefully. And what was it?
We can hope.
I've seen the different memes about the official skip day champions of the world. You know, they skipped like the last
senior
three
skip day, yeah.
3 months. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
They did a great job, though. And 51 minutes, I think, is what the time was. It was hot.
Oh, wow.
But it was 51 minutes, and we're sitting there going, okay, they said an hour. And we were walking out of the stadium at 51 or 52 minutes, and we're like, and it was warm.
Not bad.
Not bad.
What else do we have to discuss today, Chief Hudson? Anything else on your mind today?
Well, they kind of stole my thunder. I was prepared to come in and talk about LB 1222, a legislative bill that was put in very late in the session. About 12 days left in the session, they voted to suspend the rules, and it was the Municipal Police Oversight Act. And we found out last night that it was not advancing from committee, which is a positive.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of things in the bill that were not positive, and actually in theory were not even feasible or doable. You know, I mentioned earlier about things based on facts, not emotions, and during this time we get very, there's a lot of issues out there that affect us all, and we can all agree that there are things that need to change,
mm-hmm.
but we have to make those changes based on facts, not emotions.
Yep.
And right now there's so much emotion, there's so much, the narrative is being driven by emotion, and I think we need to make sure that, let's sit down and have an honest discussion. Let's sit down and have a discussion based on facts. You know, I don't think there's a law enforcement professional in the country or in the state of Nebraska that doesn't agree that there is a place for, you know, there is definitely police oversight and stuff like that. We have it now. We have tremendous disciplinary oversight and stuff like that. And I think, you know, as I emailed a senator, state senator back east earlier in the week, there's so much more that goes into police discipline and police complaints than somebody calls and makes a complaint and I just decide what the discipline is. There's so much more. There's a full-on formal investigation that's being conducted, sure, at the deputy chief level.
And that's what I was going to ask, Chief, while we're discussing that. That complaint sometimes goes right to you, but there is a proper chain of command. You are the chief of the North Platte Police Department, but there are other individuals that are responsible with some management, I guess I would say...
Oversight?
Duties, oversight, yeah.
Yeah, well, and I will tell you, as far as complaints go, we try very hard when people call, and we get the calls, I want to talk to the chief, you know, and then the screening, of course, can I ask what this concerns? And if it concerns a complaint, because the complaint, I don't know if people will understand this, but the complaints don't start with me because I'm the final adjudicator. I'm the one at, sure, the end of the day that's going to get this whole 3-ring binder that's 4 inches thick with all this information. So what we will do is we will ensure that person speaks to a lieutenant, a deputy chief, a sergeant to initiate that process, because I'm the jury in some senses, so, you know, to have
the
me
buck
involved,
stops with you, so to speak.
Absolutely, and so, you know, when that complaint comes in and then it's investigated, everybody involved is interviewed, it's all tape recorded, it's all, then we're going to review any audio or video evidence that we have, then we're going to interview the officer, then we're going to review all that and make a finding, and then once that finding's kind of, whether it's sustained, it could be unfounded, we could say this just didn't happen, it could be sustained with a verbal or a written reprimand, it can be demotion, suspension, up to and including termination.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we decide at the end, as we look at all of the investigation, we're looking at facts. We're looking at what really happened and what do all these different people say. And then we decide, then we have a Laudermill hearing where we sit down with the officer and the officer can explain again anything that he feels that we need to know,
mm-hmm.
and then at that point then we sit down and start making some decisions on what the discipline is. But before we do that, we meet with the city attorney, we meet with a lot of people to make sure that we're legally within, that we'll uphold our legal scrutiny, and then it goes from my office to the city administrator's office, then it goes to civil service. So there's many, many levels of review. It's not just you come in and say, Dan was mean to me, and I decide 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that goes into,
yes,
it. And you'd be amazed how many times people will call and be upset about an incident that they heard about or a family member, and we have everything's tape recorded or videotaped.
Yeah.
So we go back.
Concrete evidence.
We go back and we look at the tape, and we find out this isn't exactly what you were told, you know, and here's what really happened, and
mm-hmm.
and we understand that, but it's you know, again, some of it's emotional, some of it is people not wanting to tell their loved ones what really happened, and our people do a good job 99% of the time, and the 1% of the time when they don't, we're there and we take action, and we do discipline our officers, and, you know, we do discipline our officers. You know, there's been multiple cases where we've ranged from lots of discipline, so I won't get into it personally, but are all the facts.
We're going to continue this conversation about Senator Wayne's bill and Chief Hudson's thoughts on this. And then we mentioned on Monday, too, when Chief Hudson called in, Chief Hudson was down there for the testimony at the Nebraska legislature. So we'll talk to Chief Hudson about that and his experience down there at the state capitol here in a few moments. Right now, we're going to take a quick break here with Rush Limbaugh and continue our chat with the chief after this.
Joe Lockhart, Bill Clinton's former press secretary, now works for CNN. And last week, Lockhart warned that despite what the polls say, that Biden could lose the election. Imagine that. Lockhart gave a bunch of suggestions. Biden should pretend the poll numbers are all wrong, run like the underdog. Biden should focus on turning out key Democrat constituents, blacks, women, suburban voters. And then came the biggie. Lockhart's strongest suggestion is for Biden to not do something under any circumstances. Joe Lockhart says that whatever you do, Joe Biden, do not debate Trump. Sure, Biden would take heat from Republicans, even from the media, but so what? Take the heat, skip the debates. Joe Lockhart says that Biden must ditch the debates because Trump lies, and it's impossible to win a debate with somebody who lies. He ought to know he worked for Clinton. Come on, you know that explanation's a bald-faced lie, Joe. There's only one reason you're warning Biden not to debate. If he's on the debate stage on live TV with Trump for 90 minutes, there is no way that Biden can hide. There's no way he can hide his decline, he can hide his plug, there's no way he can hide anything. Mentally. Which is why Biden's team has been hiding him in a basement. Joe Lockhart's the one incapable of telling the truth here. But as Bill Clinton's press person then and a CNN guy now, what's new about that? He's an expert in lying, and Biden doesn't even know when he's in the basement, so what's the big deal about staying there? Sometimes in life it's easy to settle for good enough. But with identity theft protection, good enough isn't enough. Data breaches appear to be happening more and more, placing your data in the wrong hands, and that leads to identity theft. Now, if you're only monitoring your credit, you could miss certain threats, like somebody selling your info on the dark web. LifeLock sees a wide range of identity threats, and if you end up with an identity theft issue, a restoration specialist dedicated to your case will work to fix it. Now look, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all the transactions at all businesses, but shouldn't you have identity theft protection that's better than just good enough? Go to LifeLock.com or call them at 800-440-4833. Use my name as the promo code. That's Rush. Save up to 25% off your first year. LifeLock.com.
Hey guys, this is Larry King. Are you sick and tired of prostate pills that don't work? I've got great news for you. I had prostate problems that were driving me nuts. I tried several different natural products. None of them worked. One day I heard about Prostagenics. It beat over 157 other prostate supplements in independent lab tests and was rated number one most powerful prostate supplement in the world. So I got some Prostagenics, and boy, am I glad I did. Now my prostate troubles are a thing of the past. I sleep like a champ. I feel like I did 20 years ago. Do yourself a huge favor. Do what I did and get yourself some Prostagenics.
Prostagenics comes with a 90-day money-back guarantee, so you can order absolutely risk-free. So go online or call
800-600-2020. 800-600-2020.
If you call in the next 6 minutes, you can get a free bottle with the Larry King TV special.
800-600-2020.
Pick up the phone right now.
Here's your forecast on Newstalk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Sunny today, high of 87. Tonight, mainly cloudy, chance of showers and thunderstorms, low of 63. Thursday, sunny to partly cloudy, chance of showers and storms, high of 87. Thursday night, partly cloudy, chance of storms. Friday, mainly sunny, high of 92. Friday night, mainly clear, a low near 64. That's your weather forecast for KODY 1240 AM and 106.1 FM.
And welcome back to KODY's Mugs in the Morning, 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Tristan Winder, please be joined by my good friend Dan Hudson, Chief of Police for the City of North Platte. And Chief Hudson, before we took our last commercial break of the hour a few moments ago, we were talking about Senator Justin Wayne's bill for some police oversight here in the state. We did find out last night that that bill did die, but it's a bill that you personally, as the Chief of Police and as a law enforcement officer here in the City of North Platte, did oppose. Opposition from the chief of police in Omaha, and I know there's several other of your colleagues down there. So, were you guys all kind of on the same page and had the same concerns with this for the most part?
Absolutely, and you know, I'll say the League of Municipalities did a great job of organizing the testimony, and we had conference calls and with lots of people. And you know, I'm a director for Region 1 for the Police Chiefs Association of Nebraska. It's a organization that all the chiefs are involved in. But I tell you that there was nobody across the state in our profession, or mayors, or city administrators, really, that supported this. It was too far reaching. You know, I think, like we said, there's none of us that would say we would welcome to sit down and have a conversation about police oversight and this and that, but it's got to be one based on facts, not emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And this bill went too far as it would have pointed, and it's going to come back. It'll be back.
Absolutely.
In the fall. It did not advance out of the committee. We found that out last night, but it will be back in probably January when the next session. The bill requires first-class cities to appoint a 7-member police oversight board, and then that board would hire investigators. The thing is that nobody that sits on that board can have ever been a police officer, ever worked for the prosecutory team, could be a sheriff, or have a family member that's been in that. So there's absolutely no expertise and no one with any true understanding of. So those people couldn't sit on the board. This board would investigate all grievances, all complaints, all use of force, all pursuits, everything that happens with it. They would
My
have
goodness.
The ability to subpoena officers' records and officers' personnel packages. There's very strict laws and rules as far as confidentiality of personnel packages.
Sure.
But this would allow them to subpoena them in all of their meetings. If you've ever go to city council meetings, you'll see the city council or different commissions go into closed session, because generally if they're talking about personnel matters or personnel discipline matters or packages, they go into closed executive session, because that stuff can't be
It shouldn't
released.
Be public knowledge.
It shouldn't be public knowledge. Well, this bill would allow, because it gave them the ability that all of their meetings had to be public hearings, and then they were to release all of their findings to the media, and that would allow them to release all of the officers' personnel packages to the media. And there's so much more in personnel packages than just their police discipline. There's credit reports, there's background investigations, there's polygraphs, there's all this stuff. There's
private information that the public doesn't necessarily
own.
Need.
There's all this stuff, addresses, residences. But the stuff was, some of the interesting things were that they could summarily dismiss any complaint that they chose to based on a couple, there was 4 different factors, but they could dismiss it, but yet then they could turn around and use that allegation as fact in another investigation. Well, how do you use something that you didn't investigate as fact? So basically what you're saying is that we believe anybody that brings this complaint to us is a factual complaint. And then it also, the other one that was interesting to us was that it there was no accountability. They had no civil liability for any good faith act. So basically, they couldn't be sued. They could say and do whatever they wanted, release whatever they wanted, but there was no liability for them. You know, we just find it interesting that the bill would give 7 to 20 untrained professionals a level of a protection from any civil liability or legal recourse that they won't give police officers who are highly trained, career police officers who make split-second decisions, but yet they don't have the same protections from prosecution or from lawsuits that they would. You know, in the big picture, too, let's say we had a shooting, an officer-involved shooting. You know, if say, we have the shooting, North Platte, our Lincoln County sheriffs would investigate the shooting. There would be some other resource that would come in. Then a grand jury would investigate it, and that grand jury is closed doors. They're going to go through everything. But now you have this oversight commission that is running an investigation, and they're releasing information to the media, they're releasing information to the press, it does away with all of our criminal cases would be jeopardized, or the prosecutions would be jeopardized, because there's no confidentiality and there's no ability to say, you can't release this right now. This is a critical part of this case. So it's just, the bill will be back in January, we're sure. They're going to work through some legal things. And again, we look forward to sitting down and having a conversation about oversight and those things, but let's do it without the noise.
Hypothetically, and this is just a hypothetical, Chief Hudson, but say that this bill, well, we know this bill's going to come back. It's going to be something debated in the future. But hypothetically, if they open this up to maybe members of law enforcement that are not with that agency or retired members of law enforcement, you gave a great example of a nice individual that's living here in the county now that is a retired police officer that maybe he serves on this board, or Mayor Livingston, who is a former police officer himself that has background in law enforcement but is not active in law enforcement at the time. If somebody like that sat on those boards, would this be something that you may support if it was an individual like that?
Well, I think we definitely would want to look at what the makeup of the board is. Mm-hmm. I think that somebody on that board needs to have some sort of background.
Sure.
To be able
experience
to explain
in the field.
What it's like. This, again, this isn't Blue Bloods. This isn't TV.
Yes.
This is life and death, and this is decisions that are made in split seconds. The big stuff also is the fact that legally you can't release certain information. You mm-hmm. can't. There is, If every time a police officer goes to work, they have to worry about everything from their mortgage to their car payments to
marital history.
Everything.
We go on and on.
Being released on the front page of the paper, no one's going to do this job. It's already hard enough to recruit and stuff like that. And you have to understand, too, you have to have some faith that we have a pretty stringent background process. To get hired by the North Platte Police Department, we're doing an extensive background investigation. You're doing polygraphs. You're doing all these different things. If you've got any kind of criminal background history, if you've got, drug use and that, in the last however many years, those people aren't getting hired. Mm-hmm. It's getting the pool of applicants is getting smaller and smaller and smaller just because of recreational drugs and the legality of drugs in other states. Because you lived in Colorado and you've done marijuana legally there, you're not getting hired in North Platte because our policies and stuff say you can't have smoked marijuana. You can't get in the state academy if you've smoked marijuana in the last 2 years, or if you've got DUIs, or if you've got this and that. So there's a lot of concerns with it, but like I say, we would be open to a conversation,
mm-hmm.
but it has to be one that our officers and our profession's rights are protected too. The traditional Supreme Court rulings on use of forces, on deadly force, is the information known to the officer at the time of the incident. Graham v. Connor, I think it is. And it's officers know a certain fact pattern at the exact incident of the time of the incident, and they make a decision based on that fact pattern in split seconds. Well, what we do is when we investigate, traditionally, is we go back and we Monday morning quarterback, and now, well, didn't you know this? I didn't know that. I got out of the car. I saw a guy with a gun. He pointed a gun at me. I did this. Well, you should have known that, this, and this. The Supreme Court law is very clear. It is those facts known to the officer at the time of the incidents. And as a profession, we do a pretty good job of nitpicking and going back and taking a year to investigate something, an incident that took 3.6 seconds, and we go back, and just investigate, which we should. I mean, anytime we use deadly force, or the police are held to a different standard. We take away people's constitutional rights. We put them in prison for the rest of their life. We put them in jail. We take kids out of homes. And at the ultimate, we can take a person's life. So we do need to investigate those things, and we do need to hold our police officers to a standard, and we need to make sure that our organizations are providing the oversight and that our chiefs are actively involved in the day-to-day culture of our organizations, and we are, mm-hmm. So it'll be an interesting bill, and again, we will organize, and we will go down, and we will have those conversations, and I hope the senators on the Urban Affairs Committee, I hope they reach out to us and say, hey, let's have some conversations. How do we make a bill that that you guys can get behind, or at least that we can start off, because LB 1222 wasn't even the starting point. There was so much to it, and one of the questions I was asked, what could you get behind? What parts of LB 1222 could you support? And we, as the PCAN, the Police Chiefs Association of Nebraska, and other chiefs, just said nothing. The name.
Yeah.
That's about it, because afterwards, when you get really reading into it, it was not something. And again, we in North Platte, budgetarily, we're laying people off across the entire city.
Yep.
You know, as we have huge budgetary concerns, but yet you're going to have a new seven-member committee that's going to hire all these people and then basically give them a blank check to do. There's no oversight of them, and who do they report to? They have more power now than the mayor, the civil service, the chief of police,
yes,
and stuff like
and
that.
And it's not an elected position
and
either.
It's not
an
elected official. So the money aspect of how do you pay for this? And so let's say you have a seven-member committee or a board, and they have several employees, and you have a police department that only has six people on it. So now you've got a board or a panel that actually has more police, more investigators and staff than the actual organization that they're designed to oversee. How does that work? You know, yeah. Are you going to say, okay, each investigator or each board member is assigned an officer and you just follow that officer around? You know, so I don't know. I don't think misconduct's nearly as prevalent as what some people would believe it is. I would say that in our organization, we take all complaints seriously, and probably in the last 2 years we've had more department-initiated complaints than we've had externally-initiated complaints.
Now, Chief Hudson, we do have to wrap up here this morning. Is there anything else you want to add, my friend?
No, just please get out and enjoy Nebraska Land Days. There's a lot of stuff still going on. Be safe. Be respectful of the people around you. Please don't drink and drive, and let's just go out and enjoy a great weekend and root for the Cowboys or the Cows. One of the two. You gotta pick which side you're on, but you know, it'll be a great weekend, and it's always a pleasure coming and talking to you.
Chief Hudson, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll see you next month, if not sooner, my friend.
Absolutely. Take care.
Time to get Fox News here on KODY North Platte with translator K291BW.
And they couldn't have written a more sinister story than what's playing out in Pike County, Ohio right now.
Listen to the Piketon Massacre wherever you get your podcasts.